Welcome to the Java.net Community Corner podcast series for Java 1 2006. In this series of podcasts, we bring you the activity of the Community Corner located at Pod 532 on the Pavilion floor, including mini talks about projects hosted on Java.net and other community activities.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Java.net Community Corner. The next mini talk that we have scheduled is about to start. It's actually going to be an interview with Dr. Barry Levine, one of our Java champions. Now, the interview is going to be done by Rich Sands, one of the what is your title, Rich?
I'm a community marketing manager for Java SE.
Okay, very good. Here you go, Rich. Take over.
Thanks. So, Barry, I understand from a previous conversation we had that you are working with students at San Francisco State with Java. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little about your experiences teaching Java in that environment.
Sure. Hi.
Actually, you could introduce yourself first. Go for it.
Okay. Dr. Barry Levine, professor of computer science at San Francisco State University. I teach a core junior level core course called software development, and that's where the students get their first taste of Java in our curriculum. I very much enjoy working in Java, and the students have a little startup issues, but then they very much enjoy it as well. Also, I should mention that I'll talk about Armenia as well. I started a graduate program in computer science at American University of Armenia, and I run it from here. And I'll be leaving there in about a week and a half for several weeks.
So can you tell us a little about what the challenges are to teaching Java as a first language to college students? What works, and you know where are the issues, and what could be done to improve the tools for teaching Java to college students?
Actually, it's not their first language at San Francisco State. It's their first language is C++. But certainly, students have come back and after they've taken several other courses after they completed my course and expressed their pleasure with working in Java as opposed to C++. I think in terms of learning, I'm also in touch with some folks at some other universities who have developed online resources for teaching Java as an intro course. And I've just reviewed another book with a different tack on introducing students to Java via something that means more to them in their personal lives and their interests in computer science and in terms of working with video and sounds and so on to explain the concepts, the basic computer science concepts in that context. So there's a lot going on and it's pretty exciting, and especially with respect to the capabilities of the Java and the libraries that are available that make life a lot easier for the programmers.
It's certainly interesting to see how Java is used in universities. One of the interviews that I did on the SD Sun Developer Network was with Zhu Bin, another Java champion who's also using Java for teaching college students over in China. So it certainly has been very popular. Can you tell us a little more about what's going on over at the American University in Armenia, what you've been doing over there with the computer science program?
Actually, that's quite exciting. At this particular point in time, it's quite exciting. I'll be leaving in a week and a half for Armenia, and this summer we're bringing a very special visitor for our program. I expect you would know Professor Donald Knuth from Stanford, and I will host his visit there. He's going to be there for about a week. The program, certainly our interests are manifold over there. We've just been very successful in raising funds and obtaining scholarships and working with companies that are located both here and in Armenia. It gives our students a very nice vehicle for getting some practical experience and something that working in an international domain. I'm particularly interested, we were introduced by Gary Thompson, who I should mention was a student of mine, and he's working on a project now in global software development. And these are some of the issues that, serving as director of the program, I can leverage that to tie together San Francisco State with American University of Armenia. So there's a lot of very exciting things that are happening now with the program. Oh, and I should mention, should I talk about the student stipends project?
Yes, please do. I was actually going to ask you about that. So we had talked earlier about the student stipends program, and I was curious how that relates to the work you're doing in Armenia. Can you tell us about the student stipends program, what that actually involves and how it works, and what your involvement in Armenia is?
Okay, thank you. Sure. Currently, we have some pilot projects that are running with the student stipends project. The idea is to support some students in developing Java projects, and especially of a special interest is to do something of social concern and social value. In that regard, in Armenia, the pilot project we initiated with a colleague over there who's teaches in my program, as well as being a leader in the local IT industry. And he's had several startups in Armenia working with companies here as well. And so in this project, he's developing open source in Java to support medical records for hospitals, which, of course, is due to financial constraints, is this software is generally, these applications are generally out of reach for the developing countries. So what's of particular interest with this project, in addition to the student stipends aspect, is we get students working on socially relevant issues and supporting their country and very worthwhile projects. In addition, we have four students that are participating in this project. We have a computer science graduate student in my program. We also have a public health student in the master's program at American University of Armenia. And the idea of in involving collaborative efforts with the other major universities in Armenia, we have a student from each of the other two universities on the project as well. So it's quite exciting to form these collaborations and some useful projects.
Well, that sounds like a pretty cool bridging of the digital divide, sort of one student at a time. I think there's a lot of opportunity there when people get involved early on, working on this sort of thing with the help of the stipends. I think that's going to really allow people to leverage the Java technology to make really a difference in the world. So, you know, I wanted to ask you one last question about the Java Champions program. I know you've been a Java champion since the beginning of the program. I was wondering if you could say a little bit about what your experience has been with the Java Champions program and how it's worked and what you'd like to see happen in the future with Java Champions.
Sure. Most of my involvement has been with regards to the student stipends project, and of course I'm a very serious promoter of Java because I believe in it and the environments that are available. It serves as a forum for people to discuss relevant issues, whether in the context of the universities or industry, and it brings the people together to talk about these issues and the needs. And so I think it's an excellent idea, and I'm very happy to participate in it.
Well, thanks very much, Barry. It's a pleasure meeting you, and thanks once again. I hope to see you at the Birds of a Feather tomorrow night.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks very much, and thank you, Dr. Levine. Thanks for the work you're doing with the Java Champions and with the Student Stipends Project. Are there any questions for Dr. Levine? No. Next, we're going to have an interview of Ken Arnold. Ken Arnold is one of the members of the Java.net Fairness Board, and he is going to be interviewed by Helen Chen, who is the Java.net site manager. So give us a couple of minutes to set up, and we'll have that interview in just a moment. Good afternoon, folks. Welcome back to the Java.net Community Corner Mini Talks. At this point, we're going to be doing an interview with Ken Arnold. Ken is currently CTO of Farm Vigilant, the owner of many open source projects in the Java world, and also member of the Java.net Fairness Board. Ken will be interviewed today by Helen Chan, site manager for Java.net. Helen?
Thanks, Gary, and thanks, Ken, for agreeing to come and chat with me today. Hey, Ken, you know, one of the things that I remember from our days when we used to work together, not only was it you not paying attention to me and turning around, but also I used to come into your office and browse through books, and one of the books, many of your books were on usability and layout and style and things like that, and that's one of the reasons I think you're Project Napkin is so cool, and I'm wondering, would you be willing to spend a little time talking to us about it?
Yeah, I always like to talk about this. This is a project that I did started a couple years ago. I was had been looking at Napkin look and feels, and the Napkin, sorry, excuse me, I've been looking at Swing look and feels. Swing is designed so you can skin the look, and typically, people come up with a new way to present a close button or a new way to display a menu, so it's got curved edges, and that always seemed to me completely pointless. Who needed another curved, you know, another way to show a menu? And then I was reading a column and someone talking about the following problem, which I think we've all had at one point or another, which is you develop an application, you start by writing up a mock-up of the GUI. So you put the GUI up there, and your manager looks at it, and she says, "That's very nice." And you say, there's nothing behind this. You can hit the buttons. Nothing's going to happen. We'll fill it in. You can say that all you want, but the manager has seen it and the manager has touched it, so the manager thinks it's real. There's some lizard part of the brain that connects and says, yeah, that's I've seen it. And then 2 months later, no matter what you've said, they say, okay, what have you guys been doing for the last 2 months? You know, like playing games? I mean, where is it? So the idea is to do something so that... was to do something with a look and feel that had some intrinsic value, which was to make what's provisional look provisional. So if you look up here, what we have is actually the standard swing set UI demonstration program. And you can see that everything is sort of sketched out. It looks like somebody went like this, right? And if you look closely, you can see the background is a crumpled napkin. And these things are post-its. The whole point of it is... Now let's see, if we switch over to how the buttons look, you can get a feel there. Well, the radio buttons, for example, you know, you sort of scribble in those partial circuits, the checkbox, or sort of, right? Each of these is individually drawn, actually. They're all quadratic or cubic curves. And in fact, one of the hardest parts of this was trying to figure out how to make a line that wasn't straight, that looked like it had been drawn by a human being. I went out looking for research. There's a lot of research on doing exactly the opposite, to taking a hand-drawn line and figuring out what line the user meant. But to take a computer-drawn line and making it look like a hand-drawn line, there's no research on as far as I could tell. So so play around with all these things. And what the point is, again, that if someone comes up and looks at this, they're going to say, no one believes that this is final. See, this is like a highlighter pen is how we used to highlight things. So we've done this across the entire set of controls. The tables, you can see the button, the table columns here, the corners here don't quite match. And I'll show you everything's customized as soon as I can grab this and resize it. Because as you do this, you'll see that all the lines are slightly changing. When the size of a rectangle changes, it recalculates the sketched line. So you can do everything with it. You can do with a standard napkin look and feel, but everything is provisional, sketched out. Now, my favorite piece of this is the progress bar. If you see down here, this is, you know, your typical progress bar, you know, percentage going along, and the way the demo here starts typing out some text, you'll see the disabled thing looks like it's been sort of scratched out. And then here's the progress bar, which is scribble, 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 scribble. So, this is an open source project. It's on SourceForge. Unfortunately, it started up just before Java.NET started up. So, there's a link project. Yes, if you go to Java.NET, you can find it that way as well. So, and you can download it. This was done in a very typical open source way. I did a bunch of it. The real world intervened. Some kid at college in Cambridge, in England, wanted to use this look and feel for his NetBeans. And he found the few things that weren't fixed, and he sent me the fixes, and I said, why don't you put it in and fix these other things while you're at it? And he said, fine. 1.0, out the door. We're working on 1.1. Yeah, it's like, you do it. Yeah, that's the best way to get it done. And so, Alex Lamb is his name, and if you go to the webpage, you'll see his picture because he made the release possible, and so it's the two of us now instead of just one. So that's the napkin look and feel. So the next release, we're going to have a sketch mechanism so that you can take an actual image, and there'll be something, it'll be like a Photoshop filter. You give it a JPEG, and it will make it look like somebody sketched it out, so that you can make the images that you put up look like that, including images that are on, on buttons. In fact, you can see it when we switch back over here. Not on that one very well, but the checkboxes. These, it's hard to see on this monitor just because it's a little fuzzy, but these are subject to that filter. They look sort of sketched in. The original pictures look much crisper and cleaner. So, anyway, so that's where we're going next. It's just trying to like add more things to make it look more and more provisional. And there is a NetBeans plugin you can go and download that gives you the this napkin look and feel as your NetBeans look and feel.
That's really excellent. You've made so much progress since the first time we talked about it. I think we were in a bar having a beer, and you... No, we wouldn't do beer, would we, Ken? And you were actually sketching it out on a napkin, showing Steve and myself about this. So I have one more question for you. This is another walk down memory lane. Since you mentioned Cambridge, Daniel was mentioning to me, reminding me of an adventure the three of us had when we were all at the Genie community meeting, and we went exploring Cambridge, Massachusetts in search of chocolate. So, what's your favorite chocolate in San Francisco?
Yeah, it wasn't really an exploration. It was a lightning strike into Harvard Square from the conference. It was, go back! Yep. Burdick's chocolate, yes. Actually, they're a small chain. They're in some other places, too. But it's a chocolate house like other places are coffee houses. You can go in and they serve you these big steaming cups of hot chocolate, all foamy and beautiful. Oh, it's wonderful.
Where have you been in San Francisco? Have you given up chocolate?
No, I haven't given up chocolate. There's a place called the Fog City Newsstand, I think it is. I have the card here. But anyway, it's down Market Street, and they have a lot of interesting imported chocolates and local handcrafted chocolates as well, and I'm... Don't see it here. In my backpack, I actually have one that's a local chocolate that has pink peppercorns in it.
Excellent.
And I bought that on the say-so of a friend of mine who actually tells me it's good. I'm a little skeptical. We can try it after the talk if anyone wants to know what pink peppercorn chocolate tastes like. Oh, brave people.
That sounds like an excellent invention. We'll have to lead up another... Forage for chocolate. Excellent. Thank you so much, Ken, for coming and joining us tonight. It was great.
Ken Arnold, Helen Chen, thank you very, very much. In just a few minutes, we'll have an update on free and open source software from Fernando Lozano, but give us just a minute to set up here. We're running a little behind. We'll catch up now.
This has been the Java.NET Community Corner Podcast. Come visit us at Pod 532 on the pavilion floor and check out our website at jnpodcasts.dev.java.net, where you'll find show notes and a feed for all our Java 1 2006 podcasts.